Good morning, church. Happy Father's Day. Not to go all mushy on you, but it is a big deal to me. I remember one of the first times at our house that we've now since sold and moved out of, but then I came home, and I distinctly remember that of my two girls, they were both little, that sound that two little sets of feet make on the floor, the little pitter-patter of feet running home to say, and that was the first time I remember both of them going, "Daddy!" And so it is a big deal, and it's a big deal to me. I'd like to take a second, if we can, and I'll explain myself, but I'm going to ask all the guys, if you would stand up, all of you. I don't care how old you are, got kids or no kids. And here's the reason why. Because no matter what age you are, if you're not yet to that place of having kids, or maybe you just never had biological kids of your own, whatever the reason may be, every man in this room, every man watching online, has the potential to impact the eternity of somebody else. To somebody who needs the Father, to somebody who needs maybe an encounter with a strong man of God, somebody who believes who God is and can speak truth when it's necessary, maybe be comforted. You know, today sometimes it's frowned upon for men to show a soft side, to be able to show love and tenderness. And I just want to tell all of you, you all have that possibility. You all have that within you. And so that's the reason we include all of you today. That's the reason we include all of you as we celebrate and we give you something good on the way out. You get one too. Because I truly believe there's some people in this world, they may never have their own biological kids, but they're some of the most life-changing people that you'll ever meet. Amen? Amen. Well, let me pray. I'm going to pray and bless all of us as fathers. God, I thank you this morning for the honor. God, for the two you've given me. And God, I thank you for the honor to be your son, for you to be my heavenly Father. God, I ask you today for all of those standing before me, all those guys watching online, whether they have biological kids, adopted kids, or maybe they just are those speaking into others' lives. God, I ask you to give them supernatural wisdom. Let them experience you, Father God, so they can then share that experience with those around them. God, let us as men impart into the next generation the priority of God, the position of you in our lives at front, that we follow you. God, as men, let us be not only men of authority, but let us be men under authority that listen and follow you, that heed wisdom, that follow the guidance of you, our Heavenly Father. And we thank you, God, for being so good to us. And we thank you that even from this house will come men of God to lead, to give, and to serve. And we thank you for it now, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's give them a hand. And just so you know, guys, when you go out and see what's out there, this is from my heart to yours, just to show you some love. So we got the good stuff. We got some good chocolate, some good stuff out there. And it's true, you know, they say the way to a man's heart is through his belly, but that's how, guys, we can show some love for each other. So I got you some chocolate today. So get that on your way out and just know we love you. And eat it before you get off the property. Don't wait. If you want to eat it, eat it. I don't really care if it ruins your dinner or not. we're going to jump into this series. We got one more Sunday after this in this series on the book of James. And again, if you've missed it, I encourage you to go back on Facebook or YouTube and catch up. James, again, is very straightforward, very much tell you like it is. This is, again, this is a grow-up series. This is a good time in our lives and a good in our season of summer for us just to dive in and let God teach us some things. And maybe, and I must have struck a nerve last week. I had more comments on last week's message than I have in many, many weeks, on the power of the tongue and watching your mouth and what do you say. So some of you, like me, must still be dealing with that. Because usually when God's dealing with me, he's dealing with all of us in the church, and I got more comments about it. So if you missed it, go back and catch up on that, and I believe God will teach you what he told us last week. Now, in the next part, we're actually going to do the second part of chapter 3 today. And I was going to combine them last week, and I thought, you know what, I want to give today, what James talks about today, some space to breathe, to stand on its own. And James jumps into, and really only in about five verses, he begins to tell us about wisdom. And it starts like this in James chapter 3, verse 13. This is just the first part of the verse. It says, if you are, which to me is funny. I think there's humor in the Bible, and if you'll read the Bible understanding that God has a sense of humor, this is James' way of saying, for those of you who are smart, listen up. For the rest of you, listen up, because you need this. He's trying to tell that, hey, you guys aren't all operating and listening in wisdom. It says, if you're wise and you understand God's way, he's telling you to be aware of this, because here's the honest truth. It takes wisdom to live in the crazy world that we're in today. For us to live in the world that's changing on a dime, when tragedy is but a flip of your phone away, we could all now flip on our phones and find out somewhere in the world something tragic's happened. That you can experience, go from the best moment of your life to tragedy like that. Or decisions, or people in your lives making decisions that affect your life. And it's just a very, very complicated world that we live in. And James is saying, I'm telling you, you not only need God's wisdom. Now, knowledge and information is good, but we need God's wisdom. And a lot of times we get wisdom confused with knowledge. So I'll give it to you this way. Knowledge comes from education. Now, you can educate yourself in the Word. The Bible tells us to do that. Education could be you go to school, you learn a trade, you learn, a teaching degree, or you become a doctor or a lawyer, or you learn to weld, you learn to plumb, or you learn electrical and learn to do whatever it is. That's education. But you see, wisdom comes from God. Now, the world doesn't like this, because somebody that's worldly will say, well, no, I can be wise. I have experience. And you can't argue with that. Yes, you have experience. But there's a difference between earthly wisdom and experience and godly wisdom. A big difference. And James really points this out. And it's interesting, the word, and again, if you're visiting today, I don't go into the original text in Greek and Hebrew a lot, because I'm just frankly not that smart. That's why I married Melanie. She's smarter than me, so if I have a problem, I go to her. But it was interesting that this word that James uses in the Greek actually means skilled living. Wisdom means that you have some skill at what you're doing. And it takes some of that skill in today's world to navigate it and to walk through the things of the world that we have to walk through. There are things that I think, according to the Bible, in wisdom, these are the things that go beyond us. Wisdom, godly wisdom, to me, comes sometimes. Anybody ever surprise yourself? Like, you figured something out, and like, how did I know that? I'll never forget taking a test when we were at Oral Roberts, where I met Melanie, and I was taking a test, and it was one of those moments that everybody's had at some point in school. Like, it's a question that it might as well be in Chinese. Like, I got no idea. I must have completely missed that part of the class. I slept that day, or I missed the notes, and just blank. And I remember asking God, I said, God, I just need help, because he obviously told us this, and I don't remember it. And it was just like a light went off, and it was like class replayed itself. And I'm still convinced today it was God going, okay, let me help you out with this one. He kind of pushed rewind, and I could hear the pastor saying it, and suddenly, I mean the pastor, the professor saying it, and suddenly, I was like, oh yeah, that's B. And that it just are things that I've impressed, you know, I'm not a carpenter, I'm not an electrician, I'm certainly not a plumber. But it's that feeling for those of you who are like me, who aren't, when you do figure it out. Like, got anybody try to ever figure out a three-way switch? Yeah. If those of you who are nodding, yeah, I figured out, and those of you who aren't nodding are the ones who electrocuted yourself and like, no, I ain't never tried that. Because I've done both. It just, and I'm so proud. And I go to Mel, like, look, I did it. Look, look, the light works. And she's like, yeah, great, the light works. No, it's a three-way switch. You don't understand. And it just goes beyond us. And I think there's a lot of that in our lives. It just goes beyond us. Proverbs says that wisdom is supreme above everything else. Get wisdom. Hey, whatever you do, King Solomon writes, whatever you get wisdom, because it will lead you and guide you. Wisdom is the difference, you see, I think, between people's response who are going through the same thing. You got two people side by side going through the exact same thing. One of them falls apart and is defeated, and the other one still has a tough time, still goes through the same issue, but somehow they come out smelling like roses. They see an angle, or they see a direction or follow a direction that the other person just didn't see. I think that's the wisdom of God. James continues this verse and saying that you can prove your wisdom. He says, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good with the works that comes from with the humility that comes from wisdom. Let me remind you of this too. I know that we got a lot of people in the room and we're all at different stages in our walk with Christ. But don't buy into this. This is not, I am not telling you today that you can work your way into heaven, because that couldn't be furthest from the truth. You see, the good works and wisdom come from a God change or a transformed you. The Bible says when you meet Jesus that the old you is dead and the new you is brought to life. Now notice it doesn't say the new you is perfect. You're clean and holy and God, that gets you to heaven, but it's not. When you get saved, if you're dealing with this issue, the next minute, most of the time, you still got to deal with that issue. You got to let God work it out. You got to let God help you. It's not just by you following a set of rules that gives you wisdom or that gets you into heaven, that you are a new creation in Christ. I love this phrase, and I can't remember where I found this, but it says God's wisdom doesn't make you better than anyone else. There's this idea that some people, Christians, will say, well, we're better, we're smarter than you. No, no, not really. Or even people outside the church will go, you guys just think you're better than us. Well, no, not really. Why? Because it doesn't make me better than everyone else. It makes me better than I could ever be on my own. Amen. The fact that I'm standing here is proof of that. I was told many times, oh, you'll never be a pastor. That's never going to work for you. You're just going to be the good accountant. You're going to be the big, good business guy. God's given me some business sense, and I'm grateful for it. But God made me better than I could ever be on my own. I beg God, if you ever decide, hey, I'm going to take my hand off of you, then take me with you. Because if you're not leading and guiding me, then we're all in trouble. Like, I can't lead this thing without some help. And James goes on. And let us read, I want to read to you what James says about God's wisdom. This is James chapter 3, we'll go through 14 through 17, or 16, I guess. So, but if you're bitterly jealous and there's selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. Okay, let me put that in some more, easier to understand terms. This is that person that, they don't know what they're talking about, and they prove it by the way they talk. This is the guy, if you've ever, you talk shop with somebody, maybe if you're a car guy, and, you can come to me and you can talk car stuff all day long, and I could nod, and I probably have no idea what you're talking about. But I have found that with people who don't know anything about cars, I can be the greatest car guy in the world. Why? Because they don't know what they're talking about. We actually convinced a bunch of kids one time that we were mechanics. We were at a youth conference. And I had a kid that was 16 or 17. He was talking, my car is doing this, and he named some issue. And I told him, I said, oh, that's easy. It's your nibbling pin. And he was like, oh, yeah, it's right up under the who's a what next to the what's, And he goes, oh, when I get home, I have to go look for that. Like, there's no, I made it all up. But the Bible says that we cover up selfish stuff in our hearts by boasting about what we know and lying about it. Don't talk about how great you are. This is where prideful people fall. It goes on, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, demonic. In other words, the wisdom of this earth is not going to get you. They're unspiritual. In other words, you're not connected to who you really are and who God is. And they're just down demonic. The Bible says that the devil is the king of this world. That he, when God threw him out of heaven. And life will teach you that this is true because it fails. This is why I don't have a problem telling people that say to me, Clint, I'm just not ready to follow God yet. I'm not ready to do that yet. And I'm going to go try it this way. And my answer usually is, feel free, because you'll be back. Because what you're about to try is not going to work. And I tell you ahead of time, it's not going to work. I'm trying to tell you this is not a good choice. But if you want to do it, go ahead, because you'll be back. James goes on and says, for wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil. And not just evil, the Bible says, evil of every kind. This is why, for those of us who are Christians and have Jesus in our heart and the Spirit of God in us, anybody ever been in you walk into a room and you can just feel uncomfortable? Like somebody's been fighting in the room and arguing and chaos is going on. You walk in the room and you just kind of like, oh. Or you walk into a room and anybody ever do this with your parents? Like, I have two younger brothers and they're in trouble. Come home and bust in the door and it's like, I'm out. Because you know little brother and little sister, they're already in trouble and you're not wanting to step in that mess. Like, you just sense there's something wrong. See, the Bible says where there's jealousy and selfishness and disorder follows. Disorder, that's where we get it's where we get the word dis-ease. Disease is something that's wrong in my body. It's things out of order. And James says that all this lingers when there's jealousy and selfish ambition, which is not wisdom. But the great thing is James says God knows he knows we need his help. And if you remember, I'm going to take you back to James chapter 1, verse 5. It says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you, and he won't rebuke you for asking. See, sometimes we just forget. God says, if you want to know how to do that, the answer to this problem you're facing, you need to just ask me. James started that way in chapter 1. Now in the next two verses we're going to look at, James in chapter 3 tells us what wisdom looks like. And then I'm going to break it down, each one real quick, and then we'll go enjoy our Father's Day. James chapter 3, verse 17 says, but wisdom from above is first of all what? Pure. James says the first thing right out of the gate, it's pure. It's also peace-loving, gentle at all times, willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. So wisdom from above, God's wisdom, and I'm going to break those things down. The first thing is, the wisdom from above is a pure heart. And there's only one way to get this. Notice it doesn't say a perfect heart. Because some of you would let the devil put guilt on you and you think, okay, well, I met Jesus last week and I received him and I'm trying, but I still fall apart. It doesn't say a perfect perfection. It says pure. And the Bible's very clear. When you receive Jesus, the blood of Jesus is applied over your life. The Bible says that your sins are no more and your heart is as white as snow. That's pure. I remember one time I was helping some friends paint at another church and we were kind of doing a back wall like this and we bought pure black. And when I went to spray it, I was helping them learn how to use a paint sprayer and we stuck it in, fired it up, primed it, and when I went to spray, something was off. Like, it looked black, but I just kept telling the guy, something's off. Come to find out that in the 5-gallon bucket of black pure paint, the people who had used that sprayer before us had had a cream color in it. And the paint sprayer pumped in about two small communion cups of a cream or a white in a 5-gallon thing. Well, that's no longer pure. It's no longer what it was supposed to be. And the Bible says of us that Jesus' blood makes us pure, that it makes us able to connect with God. This is a heart that let Christ in. And now that you let Christ in, purity says, okay, I'm going to let God work on me and help me work toward that idea of perfection. The Bible says in Titus chapter 1, verse 5, that everything is pure to those whose hearts are pure. But nothing is pure to those who are corrupt, unbelieving. We believe that Jesus has saved us. We believe. You don't necessarily have to be able to explain it, but you have to believe it. Because we believe, and their minds and consciences are corrupt. You see, James is very clear. He goes on, if you look in chapter 4, he says, so humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Why? Because this is not about you. This is you resisting the devil, and look what happens. It says, come close to God, and he will come close to you. Wash your hands, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. See, purity of me is going, God, I'm not perfect, but I'm following you, and you're going to lead me and teach me. You're going to correct me when I'm wrong. You're going to praise me when I'm right. It comes from a pure heart. So my question, and the question it leads us to, is asking this question. What are you giving space to? If you remember last week, we talked about what comes out of your mouth, what comes out of here resides in your heart. What are you allowing to occupy space? What are you allowing to store up? We only have so much space. And the Bible says that if we're not careful, we can squeeze God out with all the other things that we let sit in our heart that we take in. The second thing, it says that wisdom loves peace. Again, James 3:17, but the wisdom from above is peace-loving. It leans toward away from conflict. I'm trying to think of the words I want to use. Proverbs says this in Proverbs 14:29. It says, people with understanding control their anger, but a hot temper does what? Makes you look silly. You ever met anybody, or do you know anybody, and if they're sitting beside you, don't look at them, that is hot-tempered? Like it takes about that long for them to go from 0 to 100 miles an hour, right? I have to be careful. There's parts of me that are that way. It's part of the, you know, my grandfather, my dad's dad was a football coach, and him to my dad, my dad to me, I was used to my grandfather said something, you did it. And you didn't ask questions. You know, he won several state championships and coached, you know, high school football and basketball and won championships in both. He was very much so, you know, hey, jump. And you don't even ask how high, you just start jumping. You know, and so there's part of me even, and a lot of it, you know, in all honesty, has, and me and Emma, because if I'm not careful, I know I'm not the most patient person. Melanie, that's why God gave me Melanie. She's one of the most patient people I've ever met in my life. Sometimes it aggravates me. She's too patient. But with Emma and dealing with her, like I can go from 0 to like that fast. And the Bible says when you do that, when you don't use wisdom, that hot temper shows how foolish you are. And a lot of you, hopefully somebody else besides me in the room, can identify with that. In Proverbs, King Solomon also writes, says, this is out of the Message paraphrase version, but I love the way this reads. It's a mark of a good character to avert quarrels, but a fool loves to pick fights. See, today, that's not what in the world would teach you. No, you got to you have to fight. And I'm not by any means telling people not to defend yourselves. I'm not trying to get into the political side of it. But the Bible says there's something wise, a mark of a good character, about somebody who can avoid that fight. So let me ask you this, and this, I've heard this many times over my life, and I think it's probably one of the most profound statements, because a lot of us say, well, Clint, I can't get myself out of it. It comes to me. It doesn't change this fact. Conflict minus you equals no conflict. You can't tell me I'm arguing with this, I'm having a conflict with this person if you're not there with the person. Take yourself out of it. Wisdom says, don't pursue that. Conflict minus you equals no conflict. It's a mark of good character to avert quarrels. Wisdom goes on. It says, wisdom contemplates. And this is one that I've been really thinking about this week. Wisdom contemplates a bigger picture. James 3:17, but the wisdom from God is, and it says, above all, gentle at all times. The Message version says gentle and reasonable. The NIV says considerate. See, a lot of times in our world, especially as Americans, we think it's all about us. Everything's about us. You know, you've heard the phrase that we'll use a lot of times called first world problems. Like this week, we've been, by the way, if you're online watching, the first part of our live cast today was not there. And it's because we had first world problems. Something, it was messed up, it didn't work. But we have these first world problems, and so it makes it think about us. But contemplating a bigger picture, James is saying, listen, you need to realize there's more at stake than just you today. There's more at stake than just whether you get in line first to get to dinner today. Whether you get your waiter or waitress serves you in the way that you would like to be served today. There's more. There's a bigger picture. Decisions that are made are not just about you. They're about helping other people. As a matter of fact, Paul writes in Romans 15, that we who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things. He's talking about things that might make other people stumble and fall. And we must not just live like this. We must not just please ourselves. And then the next verse said, we should help others do what is right and build them up. There are times when God is, the wisdom is, make this not about me, but about helping this person, serving somebody else. I know I have to be here. I have to go here. I have to be on time. You know, I have things to do, but this person right in front of me is a living, breathing human being, a soul that needs maybe a little bit of attention. It may be that single mom that's stuck in the Food Lion parking lot with three screaming kids and a flat tire. That you can stand back and wisdom says, I contemplate that this is not about me, but this is about the one who's hurting and maybe not in a good place. Maybe in a difficult situation that I can help. It goes on in 15:3 and says, for Christ didn't live to please himself. It's not about him. He said, I've come to give you life and give you life more abundantly, and it's going to cost me dearly. James says wisdom is not selfish. It's gentle. It's considerate of others. And then 4. Willing to listen. James 3:17, but wisdom from above is willing to yield to others. There's several versions that say something all pretty similar. See, sometimes wisdom is don't say anything at all. You know, somebody thinks you're a fool until you open your mouth, then you prove that you are. And a lot of us do that. There are times that even for me, it's hard. Anybody ever struggle just to sit there and like sit on you? When I was at ORU, part of my job I worked in music ministries, and part of my job was setting up sound systems, this kind of stuff, and tweaking them and getting them sound right. And I got to travel all over the country and to Africa, South Africa, and got to go a lot of different places. It was a lot of fun. But what I realized is that it put me in situations where I needed to just keep my mouth shut and smile. Because you sit down and I would go to somebody else's, all these various churches, and they would inevitably come to you and say, "Hey, what do you think? How does this sound?" And it was obvious they didn't really want my honest opinion. And so there were times you just had to sit and go, great. Sounds great. Or just listening to it, that I would become critical. Wow, that's not a just, I wouldn't do it that way. Well, I wouldn't. See, the Proverbs goes on and says, "Fools are headstrong and do what they like. Wise people take advice." And I learned on one of these trips from a pastor, and he was giving us advice. He was a pastor of a large church, and he said, "Sometimes you just got to listen, even when you don't understand." And I couldn't understand as a young guy in my early 20s, like, y'all want me to answer this question? I'm going to give you the answer. And there are just times, the Bible says, when you just need to sit there and be quiet and listen. You need to listen. There's times where people just need to talk. Lauren mentioned it in our welcome. There are times when your children, they don't need to know that you know more than them. They just need you to listen. There's times when your spouses, your friends, they don't really need something right now, this great word. They just need to know that somebody cares. If you've studied counseling and all, there's a guy by the name of Henry Noun, Dr. Henry Noun, I think is his name. And you've probably heard a phrase he coined. He says, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People don't care that you're the smartest person in the world if you're a jerk. Or you won't let them talk. There's part of me, and this is what makes my wife, I think, such a great counselor, is that when you come in and sit with me, part of me wants to go, okay, I heard like 5 minutes of your problems. Let me push pause and tell you how to fix your problem, and then we'll just save us all an hour. That's not a good counselor. Like, part of counseling is letting you express yourself, and my nature, if I'm not careful, is just going, I already know what your problem is. Let me just tell you how to fix it. We'll save the in-between stuff, right? See, that's not... But the Bible says that sometimes you just need to be willing to listen, to yield to others. And then sometimes you just need to sit and take advice and not open your mouth. Then number 5. The Bible says that wisdom takes on the weight. James chapter 3, verse 17. But wisdom from above is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. Let me ask you this question. Has anybody ever done that for you? Anybody ever taken on the weight of your mess? You screwed it up royally and somebody comes up behind you and says, listen, I know this is not going well. This is not how you want to turn out. Let me fix this for you. You're trying to make this happen and it's not working. You can't do it, but I can take this weight. Well, let me tell you, there is somebody in the Bible. The Bible sent him, Jesus came for us and was that person for us. He took the full weight of what we could never do. Pay for our own sins, pay for this own mess, fix the world that we lived in. We couldn't do it. The Bible says that Jesus came and literally bore the weight of sin, sickness, and disease of all humanity on him. So wisdom, James says, takes on the weight, taking what you deserved. James says back in chapter 2, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. And then he adds this tag in. Mercy, one version says mercy always. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And as I was studying this week, I was listening to some other people teach. And one of the guys I listen to a lot, you've probably heard me mention him, is Pastor Chris Hodges from Church of the Highlands in Birmingham, church of, I don't know, they got 60,000 people and 19 campuses, and it's huge. But he said this, because I've struggled with this some in my own life. They struggled with taking the weight off of people versus judging them. Going, no, you screwed that one up. You deserve everything you got, right? But he said this, that I would rather stand before God having loved too much than judged too harshly. And I was like, wow, that's right. I want to stand before God and God said, you loved so much and you weren't harsh. It's not my job to bring judgment. The Bible says in the end, that's God's job. And wisdom says I can bear the weight of people. And I'm telling you this wisdom for most of you will be a game changer if you just let God in. Band, ushers, you guys can go ahead and do your thing and come on back. Let me give you the last one. And I don't say this to bring attention to me because I hate bringing attention to me, but I'm going to say it anyway. The sixth one is, I use the word authenticity. It's a big deal to me. The Bible says in James chapter 3 that at the end of verse 17, but the wisdom from above is, and it says, shows no favoritism, and it all is always sincere. And one of the things I felt like just as early on as I started this journey here at Believers is, God, I need to be sincere. I want to be sincere. I want to be transparent. We were talking with some friends Friday night. I don't know if you were here, but a few weeks ago, we had a colossal ending of the service. Y'all remember that? Yeah, we remember it. Like, thanks a lot. Like, the music didn't work, the tracks didn't work, and I'm standing here playing the guitar like. And in my mind, I'm thinking, do we make this a spiritual moment? You know, do we all see, and make, you know, some spiritual wisdom out of it? And I said what I was thinking. I was like, I don't know what to do. If you go back and listen to it, you can hear the complete loss in my voice. Like, I don't know what to do. And I was thinking I could play a cool guitar riff, divert attention away from the fact that, you know what, we just screwed that up royally. But the other night as I was talking with our friends, they just said, you know what, I think the reason, and they were actually listening to it online, which was even worse because you couldn't see me. All you hear is me fumbling around. And they said, it just shows sincerity that you're just human. And see, wisdom, the Bible says, from above is always sincere, but it's asking this question that we hate to ask ourselves. Is that, what am I hiding? Because you can't be sincere if you're hiding something. And I'm going to be honest with you, this scares the mess out of me. Like, that's the ultimate exposure of, okay, here's what I'm hiding. See, the thing is, you don't have to tell me today, you have to tell him. And there's a reason God says, I want you to have all of this wisdom, and I need you to be authentic, and I need you just to be real with me, because I already know. You know, this may blow some of your mind, but if you're struggling with, and say this in your head right now, don't say it out loud, say, I am struggling, and say with, and then fill in the blank. Whatever you just said, let me just put you at ease. God already knows. He's just waiting on you to be sincere, to go, yep, that's me. I don't know how to do this. Yeah, I'm struggling with that. Yeah, I know I'm supposed to be the pastor. I've had this argument with God. God, I'm supposed to be the pastor, and I can't do that. I know. Well, don't pretend. And I remember God telling me, well, don't pretend like you can. There's sincerity and authenticity that I think that God is just looking for. And the Bible says, we read the scripture earlier, when you run to God, he runs to you. So today I'm asking that question. What are you hiding? And wisdom says you should be able to be authentic. And God gives us all of this. James tells us all of this. You say, well, Clint, why does God want us to have wisdom? Why is this so important? Well, remember, it's not about you, but he tells us. In James chapter 3, verse 18, and those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace, and they're going to reap a harvest of righteousness. Well, great, Clint, what's a harvest? You know, that's going to make me righteous? No, it's not. The harvest in the Bible is always talking about somebody else and other people coming to Jesus. So the wisdom of God in your life and you planting seeds of peace are going to reap a harvest. So what does that look like? Look to your left and right. That's what it looks like. If you're online, you are what it looks like, a harvest of righteousness. I don't know why now, but God sent, got us in a season where we got people popping up all over the place. And I'm, again, sincerity and authenticity, it scares me to death because God's up to something. But the more of us there are planting seeds, the more people there will be that seed and that harvest of righteousness. Amen. People that don't know God, that will know God. People who are far from God will find a loving Father. People will begin to take their one steps. And that's why we need wisdom, and that's why I beg God, please give me wisdom, because without you, I'm in a deep hole. Amen? Amen? Bow your head and close your eyes. God, I ask you today, for those in the room, this may be you, say, Clint, well, that's great, but I've never met Jesus. I don't even know. You know, you say your heart's got to be pure and all this. Listen, your first step, the Bible says you to take this one step, that you believe it in your heart, you confess it with your mouth, that Jesus is who he says he is, that he came and died for you and paid a price that you can't pay for yourself. And he did it willingly. He took the weight and poured out on you mercy and grace. And for those of you who say, Clint, that's me, then your simple prayer is this: God, I may not understand, but I know I need Jesus. I know I need you. God, help me. Help me. Give me wisdom that I believe, I confess it with my mouth, believe it in my heart that you are who you say you are. And if that's you this morning, you can grab that little card in front of you, check, hey, I met Jesus today, throw it in the buckets on your way out so we can send you some stuff. But for the rest of you, if you would, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to sing one more song. I know, I went like the nursery people, y'all can, I'm sorry, I went a few minutes over. We're going to sing one more song and kind of let that settle. But for everybody in the room today, my prayer for us as a church, and I'm even going to go this far. I don't normally do this. Yes, we'll have our prayer people over here at the end. You need prayer, like Melanie said, don't leave here hurting alone. There's people here who care. We care. Amen. But I'm going to ask you to do this. I don't normally do this. I'm going to flip the script on you a little bit today. I need you guys to pray for us, to pray for the church, to pray for Melanie, and Lord, help your sad little pastor. We got a lot coming up. We've got a lot going on in the next few weeks. We're summertime. Churches don't, let me just tell you this. Churches don't grow during the summer. Yet we are. And it scares the mess out of me. I need your prayer. I'm asking God, I need wisdom. I need the wisdom of Solomon. Like, God, how do we step this out? Where do we go next? What's our long vision in 2 years and 3 years and 5 years? What are you doing here, God? I need help. So I'm asking for that prayer. But my prayer for you today is that when we leave here, we begin to walk in this wisdom so we can do what James chapter 3, verse 18 says. I reap a harvest. And there are even more people out there just like us who are hurting, lost, lonely, looking for somewhere to plug in and find a life-giving church. And I want to be that church. Amen? Amen. I'm going to pray and then we'll sing. God, thank you for giving us wisdom. Your word says if we just ask for it, you'll give it to us. And today, God, I ask you to give us a supernatural wisdom, not to make us feel better, not to make us feel smarter, not to bless us, but it'll do all that. But God, so that we can see your kingdom come, we can see people take one step from where they are, lost and hurting, to standing with you in the midst, in the presence, in the arms of a loving God. And we thank you for that now, Father. In Jesus' name, have your way in our lives. And we thank you for it now, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's sing.